Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about building wealth in the African-American community and entrepreneurship, and the two go hand in hand. There is a big conference that is taking place this week, and joining us tonight is Erin Horn McKinney. She's the National Executive Director of the Howard University and PNC National Center for Entrepreneurship, and Sally McCready, Chair and President of the PNC Foundation. Erin, I want to, I can't remember if you or Sally had brought up this point, but about regarding African-American women business owners as entrepreneurs. They've got a double whammy that they're dealing with, right? They're African-American, they're women. And then we also know just the statistics we've already talked about, you know, pretty much what, one in five, usually businesses, or most businesses rather, small businesses fail within the first to 5 years. And now you have African-American women businesses. Let's talk a little bit about that particular group and where they are in terms of entrepreneurship and building wealth in businesses.
Absolutely. Well, first, let me back up to say this, and it's part of the reason the center even exists, is that there, when it comes to entrepreneurial scholarship, there still lacks a lot of data around Black entrepreneurs in general. So one of the main, what we like to call pillars of our work, we have five pillars of the center, which includes resources, programs, access to capital, curriculum and education, and lastly, research. And the research component is really important because one of the things that PNC is funding as a part of this work is that making sure that there is more data around Black entrepreneurship in general. And so we have one program in particular, a national program that we do called our Faculty Fellows, where we fund faculty at HBCUs can receive funding up to $10,000 to research intersectionalities, no matter what discipline that they're in, and with the Black community and entrepreneurship. And so that's just one point I wanted to mention, because it is, this data is very critical. So then when you look at that, a lot of this data around entrepreneurship not only ignores race, it ignores gender. Right. And so one of the things that we're, and one of actually our faculty fellows from our first cohort last year actually did a study specifically around Black female owned businesses. And so we're going to, at our conference this week.
And Erin, I wanted to just jump in real quick, because when you said it ignores gender, why do you think that is or has been the case?
It just has been, and we're talking about scholarship, academic scholarship. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, it's something that's been a newer conversation. So, for example, there have been studies that have been done before around companies that go into accelerator and incubator programs, right? And it was done by a university in partnership with the Kauffman Foundation. And it didn't include gender or race. And I think because at that time, I mean, this is an older study, at that time, it wasn't considered that nuance and how important that data actually is to how many women or minorities are even getting into these programs and getting these resources. This is actually a fairly newer conversation, only in like the last 10 years, where you're hearing a lot of inclusion specifically in the entrepreneurial ecosystem and how to support women and minorities. So to that point, you know, we awarded 9 faculty fellows last year. One study done by Delaware State specifically focused on Black women-owned businesses, and that study will be discussed as a part of our Black Commerce Conference this coming year. And then our new cohort of faculty fellows will also be awarded. But just to go back to your point around, or question rather, around Black women owned businesses, is that, you know, there are studies do show that women tend to be funded at a lower rate than men, a much lower rate. You know, when I even use that data point around venture capital, when, you know, looking at the billions and billions of dollars of venture capital overall, 8% of that funding goes to women and minorities when you carve that larger pie up, right? And so women do face those issues. And then, you know, when you race plays a role as well. And so, and also with women and minorities, there is what was discussed before of not having oftentimes the same support. And what we have seen and studies have shown is there's a phrase that's used called pattern matching, that there's a lot of pattern matching that is done when it comes to investing in businesses. So predominantly those investors have, you know, tend to be white male dominated, like led venture funds. And so they're looking for someone similar to them that they believe that they can invest in. And so what we're seeing though is that data shows that Black women are the fastest growing entrepreneurial segment, and they're opening businesses faster than any other demographic right now. And a lot of that accelerated during COVID. A lot of individuals and women in particular, just broadly, who had to turn to entrepreneurship to support their families when their children had to stay home and go online and do schooling online. And so in order to be there and support them, right, people turn to entrepreneurship as a form of support. And we see this not just around, you know, under-resourced communities. Yes, gender and race play a huge role. But you also, if you look at those with disabilities and things like that, right? People have to turn to entrepreneurship oftentimes as a form of survival. And so what we're, this conference and what we're doing is really around showing people there are a number of different opportunities. No matter what you do, you are a subject matter expert in something. And there often is a way to monetize that. And then what are the resources related to that will be shared at the conference. There'll be a number of workshops around how to market your business, how to use AI tools, how to, you know, if you're scaling your business and or if you how you can become an entrepreneur through acquisition and buying a business. So there are a lot of different ways to approach entrepreneurship. And we think that entrepreneurship is the fastest way to close the racial wealth gap in this country and to build real generational wealth in the Black community.
So, Sally, how do you, with this trend that Black women are opening up businesses at a faster rate, right, than many others, but yet, to Erin's point, the funding, the loans, they're not getting at that same rate. And so when we're talking about lenders, we're talking about banks, how can they play a role in changing that? I know it's somewhat of a rhetorical question, give them more loans, but then how can lenders work hand in hand with African-American led, women-led businesses to make sure that they are getting the capital that they need and getting it equitably compared to other groups?
I think, so again, you know, back to the center and the center's work in this conference, thinking about, you know, we try to think really broadly. I'm on the foundation side, so not the business side, not necessarily equipped to speak to the nuances of lending.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but what I can say is that through working with Erin in the center, you know, what we try to do at PNC with our philanthropy is think really broadly about not just what our dollars can support, but we have 60,000 employees, many of whom, to your question, are experts, are small business lenders. This is their bread and butter. They do this work every day. So we're having a number of them attend the conference, again, not to, you know, sell PNC products, but we've been working here and very closely on a number of panels that our employees can speak on to provide the education and resources. What are lenders for looking for? How can you prepare yourself for that conversation? How can you prepare yourself to be successful? For example, you know, we have a very robust supplier diversity program here at PNC. So our head of the supplier diversity will be speaking at the conference to the entrepreneurs to talk about how they can position themselves for these various corporate opportunities to become vendors, all those different things. So really trying to line up the expertise that we have at the bank to share those educational resources that we can provide with the entrepreneurs that are being reached through the center.
And if Sally, I can piggyback on that, just to say this too, part of the reason the center exists is to help identify these gaps, to help the industry overall better understand how they can provide impactful resources and also address and be aware of predatory practices that are happening, right? And how can not just PNC, but the overall financial institution, how other financial institutions and other organizations can be more supportive of Black entrepreneurs and the obstacles that they face.
So Aaron, you know, again, I'm getting back to the difficulty of starting a small business. The hardest thing is to keep it running. Do some people make the wrong choice in terms of what kind of business they should be starting? Are we going to get into that as part of the conversation during this conference? Because some people said, hey, I want to open up a headshot shop. And, you know, maybe they cut hair a little bit on the side, but, you know, really they don't know as much about running a barbershop or a beauty salon as they think, or it's something I thought I'd like to do, but do you really have the expertise to do it? So how often does that occur, and does that get addressed during this conference? That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it absolutely does come up. And that's why we bring together this amazing conference annually of subject matter experts in various areas and industries to talk about that, right? And not just other entrepreneurs, but we also bring a number of resources. There will be a resource fair as a part of this, as a part of the conference on Thursday. From 4 to 8, there'll be a number of resources for small businesses that will be displayed so people can have conversations and talk to everyone from the Small Business Development Center that's located at Howard to a table from the Small Business Administration and other resources and organizations that support entrepreneurs. But hearing directly, you know, when you go to these panels and workshops, not only do you hear from these subject matter experts who are in the room, but a great part of this discussion is also the networking that happens and the other individuals in the room who raise questions, or you get to hear their stories. And being an entrepreneur can be a very lonely place. And that's part of this, is that you're in community. You have, you know, we like to think of this conference is also a bit of founders therapy, right? So that you have others that you can hear from them directly around how they got through these different obstacles. Is entrepreneurship even the right thing? And to answer your original question, you know, am I going in the right direction with the type of industry or business that I want to start? These are the people to ask that and say, hey, is there a real market opportunity for the business that you're trying to start? Do you want to open a salon, a hair salon or barber shop when there's so many right in that neighborhood? Maybe the approach is actually being innovative and thinking around how you can take that business and provide some skills online. Maybe you become a content creator, right?
And or mobile. Yeah, mobile.
Mobile unit. I mean, that's the whole thing. What we're trying to use this conference to do is really inspire people. And this actually leans into what the theme of the conference is. It's an Afrofuturistic approach to the theme, you know, to the conference. We really want people to see themselves in the future and use tech innovation at the intersection of entrepreneurship and say, how do you reimagine? Are you even, you know, the other question that we're really posing to our entrepreneurs is, are you thinking big enough, right? And that there are, that's what makes you actually more investable as a business, is that when you can show funders that you have a big idea and that you're breaking away out of the pack and you're doing something, you're creating even a new market opportunity. That's what makes you more attractive as an entrepreneur to invest in.
And funders are going to be there and around, or right? So that's
there are
very
panels on access to capital. Yeah. There are panels around. So there'll be individuals, not just from, you know, there's not all capital is good capital, right? There's a lot of, there will be individuals from,
I see you shaking your head, Sally.
There are funders who are coming from yes, different financial institutions will be present, but there also is government. And as Sally mentioned, there'll be individuals that are talking about supplier diversity. But we're also talking about the resource Thayer and other subject matter experts that will be there provide grants to businesses or other means of capital.
Sally, and I don't mean this to sound dismissive, but it's more just sort of looking for sort of your feel of this. What does the PNC Foundation get out of this? You know, why is this advantageous for your organization, your foundation, to be associated with this event, which you've been now for a second year?
Yeah. So, and again, it's not just the event, I think.
Correct. That's right. You're right.
But one of the things I was thinking about as Aaron was talking about is the conference is certainly the culmination of the year's work of the center. But that will continue, and lessons learned at the conference will inform and influence strategic planning for the center for the next year. But in terms of what the organization PNC gets as being a part of this, we have always believed that PNC, that a bank is only as strong as in the communities where we operate. So if through the work of the center and this conference, our hope is to create stronger communities with thriving Black-owned businesses, that makes our entire community stronger and is going to, in the end, going to make us a better bank and better community members. So that's really, you know, part and parcel of all our philanthropy at PNC. We're really trying to enhance our communities where we live and work.
Aaron, we know that, look, loans from private entities obviously can help small businesses, but you mentioned something about the government. The government can play a role in helping businesses. Legislation can be passed to either get money. We saw that during the pandemic, right? Many businesses were able to get loans, low to no interest loans, and then pay them back. Some of them were grants. I don't know if we see as much of that now that the pandemic is over, but the government can play a role to help support small businesses. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So yes, there are grants, but it's also about the larger policies that are in play. One of the one thing we didn't talk about is there are actually six different tracks happening at this conference. And one in particular is about research and policy. And in the research and policy track, one of the discussions that will be led by the Brookings Institute by Dr. Nicole Turner Lee is actually about what's the national landscape when it comes to entrepreneurial policies and what's the conversation that's happening on the Hill and how those policies trickle down. But there are resources, you know, for us is not also just about access to capital. Sometimes it's resources are in the, there's a lot of free resources that people don't even realize exist, right? In every community, the SBA has a small business development center. In every state, they have several. And so oftentimes people don't look to that resource and find out, and they can help direct you, right?
Why not, Aaron? Is it just a lack of knowledge, not knowing it exists?
A lack of knowledge and not knowing it exists. Part of what we're doing is with this center is about inviting people into the entrepreneurial ecosystem and community, right? And knowing that there are resources that are available to you. And the other part of the center, actually, some of the work that we're doing is around really making sure that resources are also culturally competent. We're not just creating new resources and investment opportunities and things like that. What we're doing is also taking tried and true practices around entrepreneurship and applying it to the Black community and making sure that they are culturally competent and they speak a language, or that they're inviting the Black community to be a part of that conversation. And that's part of the reason that resource fair is really important, that the subject matter experts that we bring invite people and say, hey, you know, so one of the panels that we're having is about entrepreneurship in the context of space, right? A lot of folks don't realize there's so many businesses that can be applied and will need to be applied to opportunities as we continue to embark on looking at space exploration, and also about at any point having people live. And so, you know, there are a number of conversations that we're having at the conference, again, to really make people stretch their thinking around what opportunities there are for you and what resources exist. And a lot of times, if you don't know someone, if you're the first person in your family to be an entrepreneur, or if you are trying something new, even as, let's say, as a tech entrepreneur, right, and you don't have anyone around you to ask, this is what this conference is about is accessibility, making those the opportunity to ask those questions and figure things out accessible to you.
And accessibility, Sally, I would assume too, with the PNC Foundation, is what you all are trying to do is to be a resource, not only for individuals, but for organizations, for dollars, for information, sort of fill in some of the blanks maybe that might be additional to just what I said, unless those two are the two main things.
Sure. Yes. I think, so to your point, we are looking to create, to work with Howard to create a movement. So that includes, you know, while we're very proud of the seed funding that we've provided to create the center, we're very open. There are other sponsors for the conference. We're very excited to welcome others into this work, to talk about, just as we did, why PNC has a vision, why PNC is invested in this work, and why it would be a great thing for others to become involved in as well. So we really are, to Erin's point, looking at the inclusivity of this work, the accessibility of this work, how to welcome others in, so that, you know, as we've all talked about, there has been a lack of resources and funding in this space, and we really want to do what we can to help shine a spotlight on why it's so important to continue in investing.
Erin, some of the information that I was able to glean for this conversation has been fascinating. I don't know if anyone thinks of New Mexico as having the highest percentage increase. It was 323% in new Black-owned startups from 2020 to 2021. I don't even know if you could address why New Mexico, but it's got one of the highest. Vermont had the highest percentage increase in jobs at minority business enterprise from 2021 to 2022. So some of these stats, I think it kind of ties in a little bit, you know, what you were talking about, the SBA, of like folks kind of don't know about these things or why this is happening in some of these areas. Why are businesses growing the fastest? I think in Georgia, 31% Black-owned of the businesses, 31% in Georgia, Mississippi, 28%. Why those specific areas too? I mean, New Mexico, I don't even know the percentage of African Americans there, but I know it's high in Mississippi and Georgia. So you take one of those three, Mississippi, Georgia, we kind of know why it's high, but isn't that interesting? Why New Mexico? Any answer to that? This is your quiz now.
Well, you know,
and if you know, Sally, jump in.
I don't find it as a quiz. I think what you're doing is presenting an opportunity. Maybe you need to look at going back and getting your PhD and being one of our faculty fellows, because it's actually, to me, this sounds like there's an interesting data point, right, that you just brought up yourself. And that's what comes to me naturally as somebody who's been in this space for a very long time, is that it can be related to a couple of things. One, it can be related to incentives. What are the incentives of that state or cities in that? What we saw, especially during COVID, there were a number of cities and states, because of so many businesses closed during COVID, that to attract and retain new businesses, they started offering amazing incentives to help businesses get started and different resources. So that's one thing that would come to mind for me. And then there are other opportunities that what we also saw, or what we've seen over the last few years, is inflation, right, has been had a huge impact on small businesses. So a lot of our businesses are going to places that are cheaper to start a business, or where they may have an opportunity to you know, not only for their cost of doing business, but also for where they can get the type of workers that they need. So it just really depends. There's so many reasons why any of those things can happen. But that is also why we're doing the work that we're doing. And what I'll lean in to also say, we talked about the Faculty Fellows Program, but on a national level, we actually have two other big programs that we do. We have one that's called our HBCU Startup Scholars, where we actually give funding to student businesses owners of $10,000, and they get to go through a virtual program with us and a virtual accelerator to learn more about their businesses and help them excel there. And then we also give funding directly to other HBCUs who are trying to start entrepreneurial programs on their campuses. So that's our Entrepreneurship Education Innovation Grant. And we give $25,000 out to different HBCUs. So last year we gave out 10 of those $25,000 grants to HBCUs, and we'll give another amount coming out this year. But to point back to New Mexico, right? The reason for this center, and I want to highlight this, is that we're not just impacting entrepreneurs in the footprint of where HBCUs are, which are predominantly in the South. The data mm-hmm. that we're coming up with and what we're doing and who this conference is for are for entrepreneurs everywhere. So if you're in New Mexico, if you are in Seattle, if you are in Alaska, right, and you'd be surprised where people are popping up with because they have an amazing skill set and have found an opportunity to start a business, this is a conference for you to help you either start, build, or grow your business.
And back to where the foundation sort of works into this, Sally, in terms of what we're talking about working with Howard University and the PNC Foundation, but I'm assuming this is the foundation goes outside of Howard University as well. It's kind of a two-part question. And why the affiliation with Howard? Why was that important to have Howard as part of this foundation?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The PNC Foundation goes beyond the space and the space where, you know, the conference is. The ultimate goal of the center is to support the more than 100 HBCUs across the country. So we really, that's why we called it the National Center, because we really mm-hmm. are looking to have a national reach. And to Erin's point earlier, you know, this is a very, there's not been a lot of research done on Black entrepreneurship. There are some great programs and great resources at HBCUs across the country. So part of this work is really, you know, shining a spotlight on those resources, bringing them together. How can we create, not recreate the wheel, but think of programs that are already working and having great impact, and how can we help take them to scale through the center? So there really is the goal to have a national reach, not just for students at HBCUs, but also for businesses across the country to be able to access these resources.
Erin, before we go out, just so folks can hear it again, when and where and what time the event takes place and how can they attend?
So I'll work backwards on that. So you can find mm-hmm. out more information about the conference at black-commerce.com or on our website, which is the hupnccenter.howard.edu, and also on our socials at hupnc_center. This conference, our second annual Black Commerce Conference, is happening this Wednesday, June 19th, so it's kicking off with Juneteenth, through Saturday, June 22nd. And so people can still sign up and register and join us at the conference. Again, it doesn't matter what part of the ecosystem you play. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're providing resources, or if you just want to support Black-owned businesses, because there will be a Mecca marketplace, a showcase of Black-owned businesses where you can come and support and buy products as well. That will happen in the atrium of the Gaylord at National Harbor. So the whole conference, the marketplace, all the events and activities will be at the Gaylord National Harbor in Maryland.
And I may have missed it, and I apologize if I did. Does it cost to attend?
There is a registration cost to attend, but you don't have to register to the entire conference if you want to come to the Black Commerce concert that is happening on Juneteenth, or if you want to come to the, you can also separately attend the Black Commerce Awards Gala happening Friday evening on June 21st, or the Black Tech Saturdays and Black Innovation Alliance link up event that we're doing that also is open to the public as well.
She is Erin Horn McKinney, National Executive Director of the Howard University and PNC National Center for Entrepreneurship. Our other guest, Sally McCready, Chair and President of the PNC Foundation. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for all of your information. Best of luck with this upcoming event and all of the programs and initiatives that you're a part of.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
That's the Daily Drum for this Monday, June 17th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.